As human beings, we can do some of the dumbest and stupidest things at times, can't we? We can even say some of the stupidest things. Last week, James reminded us about the tongue and how the tongue can get us all in a bunch of trouble. And he told us that if none of us ever stumble, what we say, we're a perfect person. And James shared with us ways in which to deal with the tongue as we've been going through this theories together on faith speak, faith works. James reminded us how faith speaks last week. And so last week I shared with you about the tongue, and we talked about it quite extensively. And I said how my tongue often can get me in trouble because I speak before I think. Well, yesterday it happened to me again. I spoke before I thought and said something to Kim that I shouldn't have said, and I had to go back later on and make it right. You know, none of us are perfect. We all stumble in many ways, don't we? And we can say stupid things, but we can also do stupid things. And here's some examples of some people that did doing some pretty stupid things. Think that's a pretty not too wise thing to do, to be working on trying to repair the air conditioner while you're hanging out the window, and you can see that it fell out the window. That's not too wise of a thing to do. This also isn't too wise of a thing to do. I would say that's not too wise. That's pretty stupid to put your head in the mouth of an open crocodile or alligator. That's not a wise thing. That's also not too wise. I guess that's kind of stupid to ride on a pig. But I guess you could do it. I guess it's not harm in it, but it's not too wise. And another example, it's not too wise to take a nap on a train track. How about it, Tracy? Especially with a railroad house, you got the trains running by. It's not too wise of a thing to do. We can do a lot of stupid things. In our scripture this morning, as Gene already said, we're going to be looking at two different kinds of wisdom. Because James tells us in these verses before us that there are two different paths of wisdom that we can follow to base our life on. Two different roads of leading us, promising us wisdom and guidance for our life. And which way we choose is going to determine what we see in the results of our life. And how do we know which road to travel? How do we know which source of wisdom is best? Because we hear a lot of things out there that sound pretty good. And how do we know? Well, faith discerns. And today, as we continue the series, Faith Works, we are focusing today on the fact that faith discerns. When we have faith working in our life, it gives us the ability to discern God's wisdom from man's wisdom and how to follow that right path so that we make decisions for our life based on the right kind of wisdom. Now, there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge. And as we discuss it together this morning, we have to understand the difference between the two, because knowledge is that of gaining facts. It's gaining information. It's when we go to school or when we read or you're reading books, or it's the gaining of knowledge and facts. But you know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge and a lot of facts, but they're not too wise. You know that? You can have a lot of knowledge, but some people lack common sense. They lack wisdom. Because wisdom is the application. It's the ability to know how to apply what you know and how to put into practice the information and the knowledge that you have. For instance, I could go on the internet and I could read and I could gain a whole lot of knowledge about how to repair a car or how to fix things with my mechanical skills that are so good that I have. And I could go on and I could get a whole lot of information and knowledge about it. But where I'm lacking is taking the wisdom to know how to put that into practice and apply it. Because my mechanical skills are like this. You all, most of you know that. And so the wisdom is being able to apply the knowledge that we have. So how do we know which path to follow? How do I know which path to choose? That's where faith comes in. And faith discerning in our life gives us that ability. And then how do we know if we're truly wise? That's what we want to answer that question this morning. Notice James starts with that question. In verse 13, he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" James says, "Who of you has wisdom and has true wisdom and understanding? How do you know?" And James gives us an answer. The answer to that question, how do we know if we're truly wise, is found in the next part of the verse. Because James says, how do we know if we're truly wise? Because if we're wise, it will show. He said, if you have wisdom and understanding, let him show it. Or let him prove it. In other words, he's saying, our life will show. And the life that we live and how faith is working within us is going to show the path of wisdom that we're following. What we build our life upon and what's being produced in our life as a result of it, it's going to show to the world, and it's going to be obvious to those around you and to yourself what path you chose to follow and what wisdom you're listening to, whether it's God's or whether it's man's. And in these verses, James is going to contrast these two different paths of wisdom because they have two different sources and they have two different results. And what we go and the path we go in our life and what comes in our life is going to be the result of it. So true wisdom will be seen, James says, and we're going to see in four different ways. How do we know we're truly wise? We want to build our lives as believers. We want to build our life on God's wisdom. His wisdom that is revealed to us in this book, which the book of Proverbs, in fact, God devoted one whole book of the Bible, the book of Proverbs, to that of discerning and understanding what his wisdom is all about. But in this book is his wisdom revealed to us. And when we follow his wisdom as believers, it will show up. And the first way is it will be seen in the life that you live. If you're building your life on God's wisdom and seeking to follow his truth, and that becomes the basis and the standard for your life, it will show in the life that you live. He says it will show in verse 13 by your good life. That word good there is a descriptive word which means basically character. It's describing character and quality. That the quality of our life and the character of our life will be a life of godliness, virtue, and character. He said you can tell what wisdom somebody's following by how they live their life, by what's being displayed through them, through the goodness that is being revealed in their life. And it's the same with you and me, that godly character can be seen and displayed through that, and also he says through a humble spirit. He said deeds done in humility. Notice that comes from wisdom, God's wisdom, but humility, that humble spirit. Deeds done in humility means not to bring attention to ourselves, not to bring glory to ourselves, but to bring glory to God. We had seen, and James already told us, that faith works, that faith at work within us encourages us to respond in action. That our faith is to be put into action in the way we serve, in the way we help, and the way we respond to people in need around us. He said, you can tell whether someone's walking in godly wisdom because the deeds that are done in humility, not to bring attention, not to bring glory to ourselves. Remember what Jesus said. He said, live your life, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good deeds and bring glory to who? Remember? God. Not to us. When we're following God's wisdom and when you're building your life on God's wisdom, when you serve and when you help others and when you give and you serve, you do it not to get praise for people, but you do it to bring glory to God. That's why Jesus said, when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't announce it to the trumpets and say, look what I did. Look at the good works I did. No, he said, it's done in humility for the glory of God. God's wisdom shows up in our life and how we live. A godly character and a humble spirit. Deeds that are done to bring glory and honor to our Savior, not to ourselves. But he goes on and says, not only are you wise and understanding, let it show up in our life by how we live, but he said it will also be seen in the attitude that we display. The attitude that we show and reveal in our life and live display is going to show the kind of wisdom that we are building our life upon. Jesus told a story of the wise man and the foolish man. And the wise man who built his house on the rock, the firm foundation. And when the storms came and the winds blowed, that house endured when the winds came against it, because it was built on the firm foundation of the rock, Jesus Christ, God's wisdom. Then the other one, the foolish man, had built his house on the sand. It was a beautiful view, maybe along the seashore. But when the tide came in and the hurricane came, it wiped it out and the house was destroyed. There was nothing left. Our life will be seen by the attitude we display. Man's wisdom, notice as he describes it here as we go on to verse 14. And man's wisdom, the world's wisdom, says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, this type of wisdom or lifestyle application of our knowledge, does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you see envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. James said, in the attitude that we display shows what we are building our life upon. And he said, man's wisdom, those that are following the wisdom of this world and living their life by what the world tells us we need to do, and this is how we're to pattern our lifestyle, those that follow that, he said, are characterized by selfish ambition. He said, envy and selfish ambition. And I looked up that word, selfish ambition, and you know what that word is? It's interesting. The word for selfish ambition is the word that the Greeks used to describe politicians that are out canvassing for votes. It's that idea of promoting yourself, of going out there and campaigning and trying to get all these people to follow you and to promote yourself. Selfish ambition says promote yourself. It says put yourself first. It says do everything for you. Me first. Boy, don't we hear that in our world today? That's what the world's wisdom tells us, is it's me first. All that matters is me, right? I'm the most important one. And I think of it in women that get pregnant and then having a baby because they said, no one can tell me what to do with my body. What about the baby at that point? But the world's wisdom says you think only of yourself. It doesn't matter. You promote yourself. That's selfish ambition. And that kind of wisdom is the kind of wisdom that leads people to devote their everything to their job and saying, well, it doesn't matter. Whatever you have to do to succeed, whatever I have to do to move up, even to the neglect of their family, even to the neglect of others, they're doing to promote themselves and to keep climbing up to become more and more successful. And people can do that, and people live their lives that way, doing what they need to do to promote themselves, to climb up the ladder, to the neglect of their family and their employees around them. And then later on, they suffer, because we're going to see what we reap through living the life of the world's wisdom. But selfish ambition, promoting yourself, saying, me first, I'm what matters. Also, the attitude as seen in the world's wisdom is bitter envy. He says, If you harbor bitter envy in your heart, that bitterness. Have you ever been around people that are just bitter? They look like maybe they had wild persimmons for breakfast. You know, their face is just, you know, they're bitter. And you talk to them, and maybe somebody did something to them or said something to them years ago and they never got over it. They're just bitter people. Or they're bitter because they're envious. Maybe somebody else has something that they don't have or weren't blessed with, and they're bitter about it. And that bitterness, you know, can even come within the church. We can become bitter at times. And James says, if we have bitterness and self-centeredness and selfish ambition in our hearts, that's the world's wisdom that's being shown in our life. That's the pattern and the attitude of the worldly wisdom, which we're not to follow, which is not to be a part of who we are. He said, if you harbor bitterness and selfish ambition in your hearts, he says, don't boast about it. He said, that's not something that we should seek to have. That's not something that we should be happy about. He said, that's not something we should be proud of, because that's a reflection of man's wisdom that's still harboring within our heart or we're listening to. It'd be seen in the attitude we display man's wisdom, which is self-centered, or God's wisdom, which is God-centered humility. God's wisdom shows up where he says in verse 17 that the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in righteousness, peace raise a harvest of righteousness. God calls us to have that attitude of self-centered humility, which instead of saying the world's, which says promote yourself, God's wisdom says deny yourself. Jesus taught us the word to deny ourselves and take up his cross and follow him. When the world's wisdom says me first, God's wisdom says others first. Others before myself. You know that old acronym, JOY, means Jesus first, who? Others second, and who comes last? Ourselves, yourselves last. And that's God's wisdom in the attitude we display. It can be seen in the life we live, can be seen in the attitude we display. Paul reminded us to the church at Corinth, he said that we are the aroma of Christ. That we give out a fragrance. We give out a fragrance to people around us. We may not even realize it. He said to some, we're to give out the fragrance of Jesus, a pleasing aroma. And I don't know if you ever remember, saw the movie Facing the Giants. Facing the Giants was a movie that was made about a football movie about a high school football coach who taught and coached a football team, and they were facing a losing season. But eventually he turned the team around by putting biblical principles into the team, and they turned the team around and they won the championship. It was a great movie. But in the one scene, as he was teaching and doing some of the drills with one of the team, the captain of the team, he was complaining. The captain of the team was complaining about the drills and the hard work that the coach was making them do. And the assistant coach went up to him and he goes, he said, you stink. He said, I don't smell the fragrance of Jesus around you. And, you know, and the attitude that we give off, the aroma of Christ that we give off, people can sense that. And our attitude that we display shows which wisdom we are building our life upon at that point, who we are following, the way of Christ or the attitude of the world. God wants us to, we need to follow the attitude of Christ, which always put others before ourselves, which denies ourselves, and that was why he left heaven to come to us. But third, James says, it will be seen in the instruction that we follow. Verse 15, he says, as he compares these two wisdoms side by side, he says they come from two different places. And as followers of Christ who are seeking to build our life on Christ and on the rock, it is only that life built on the rock, and it is only by following the instruction of His truth, this wisdom for us, that we're going to be able to build a life that's going to be successful and spiritually sound. And there's a lot of good wisdom. There's a lot of good instruction out there. You can go on the internet these days and you can find almost information and knowledge and teaching on anything you want to know. And there's a lot of good instruction, a lot of good ways we can be taught. But He tells us that we need to follow the instruction of God's wisdom. Verse 15, He identifies the two sources because He said, the world's wisdom or man's wisdom does not come from God. It does not come from heaven at all. But it comes from earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. He said, we can follow the instruction that comes from below, man's wisdom. But it's not wisdom that's based on God's truth. There may be some truth in it. But he says it's natural. It comes from the world. It's man-centered. And if we look to the world and look to those in who claim to be wise in the ways of the world for instruction, instead of godly men and women to counsel us, he said that we're going to get natural or man's teaching, which is spiritual, which is sinful, and really, he said, demonic in its source. But there's the other wisdom, God's wisdom, which comes from above. In verse 17, he says, but the wisdom that comes from above, God's wisdom, comes from heaven. And it is pure and peace-loving. It is supernatural, and it is spiritual and divine. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, Paul was writing in the church of Colossae to correct some problems that they had. For there was some in the church of Colossae that were teaching that they had some kind of secret knowledge. That in order to know God better, you had to have the secret knowledge that only a few possessed. And through that, you could become know the Lord better. But Paul told them in Colossians chapter 2, begin verse 1, he said, I want you to know much about why I'm struggling for you and for those in Laodicea, and for those who have not met me personally. Verse 2, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mysteries of God, namely Christ. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul told the church at Colossae that our source of true wisdom and knowledge is Jesus Himself. And He's the one we need to look to. And He's the one we need to look to for guidance. He is our pattern. He's our example. And to build a life on the rock, to build a life that endures, is we need to follow the instruction of His word, His truth for us. It's seen in the instruction that we follow, what we build our life on. And fourth, wisdom is seen in the fruit that we bear. Because both of these types of wisdom will produce different kinds of fruit and results. I think we see it so easily displayed when we watch TV and turn on TV and turn on the news. When you see those that follow the world's value system and the world's way of wisdom and gaining knowledge, you see the fruit that's produced. You see a lot of the bitterness, don't you? You see a lot of the hate. And social media especially, and I'm not on there much. In fact, I'm not on there at all. But from what I hear, you see a lot of the stuff of dispute on social media from those that follow the world system, the hate, which is spewed. That's the result of those that embrace and follow the world's pattern for living. Because it will produce fruit in our life. Verse 16 says that those who follow the wisdom of the world have bitter envy and selfish ambition. But not only that, he said there's disorder and every evil practice. But the fruit of a life built on God's wisdom is that of mercy, of impartiality, of sincerity, of peace, of love, of grace. He said, if we follow and build our life on what the world follows, teaches us as wisdom, the result's going to be envy and strife. Sometimes there's envy and strife in our homes because we're living by man's wisdom. We're not following God's instruction or teaching as we should. And envy and strife can result within our homes, even sometimes within our churches, because we're not following God's instruction and his wisdom completely. But if we build our life on God's instruction and his wisdom, the result will be love and peace and forgiveness. We won't harbor that bitterness. We'll let it go, and we'll have forgiveness, and we'll have grace, and we'll show and display that to one another. And it will be seen in the fruit that is being demonstrated in your life. So what kind of fruit are you producing? We all produce something. And what kind of fruit are we producing? And that shows the wisdom that is you're following and basing our life upon. So the question is, which wisdom leads you? Man's wisdom, which to build our house on, Jesus says, is foolish. It's not going to endure. It's going to fall around us. Or God's wisdom, which is eternal and which guides us. Who is wise? Who is understanding? Wisdom is seen and will be demonstrated in our life one way or another. But for those of us who are seeking to follow God's wisdom, it'll be shown in how you live your life. It'll be shown in the attitude you display. It'll be shown in the instruction that you follow and in the fruit that you bear. May we truly be wise and build our life lasting on the Word of God, on His truth and on His wisdom, because that's the only wisdom that will endure. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word, which gives us the wisdom and instruction we need. Lord, that we look to your Word for guidance and direction, because, Lord, you are the truth. And in your Word is the source of all wisdom and all knowledge. And Lord, there's two different paths, two different ways in which we can go, but faith discerns. And faith shows us out of all that's out there what to build our life upon. And it's that life built upon the rock of Jesus Christ that will endure. The wise man, the wise woman, is that person who seeks you first, who seeks first your kingdom and your righteousness. And everything else will be given to us as well. And so, Father, thank you for that truth. Thank you for giving us your word and your truth to guide us. And that the fear of the Lord, our reverence for you, is the beginning and the source of all wisdom and all knowledge. So thank you for James's teaching and his practicality for us, and showing us that there are two different ways to go, but it is only that of your wisdom that is the wise choice. It is the only way of your wisdom that leads to results that are honoring to you, and a life that will endure, and fruit being produced within us that is godly and reflecting your glory. Lord, in those times, Lord, when our attitude is not what it should be, when that bitter envy and that self-centeredness is displayed within us, remind us, Lord, that that's not wise in your eyes. That's not your wisdom being displayed through us. But your wisdom is kind, forgiving, loving, and humble. So may we build our life on the rock of Jesus, following and walking in your wisdom as we live for you each day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close this morning,